Yes, sir. You're writing to us. That's good. Good. Good for you. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on in to the Steve Ripping text line, 1-888-973-5476. Teeny tiny lady right over there working hard. Joe Mama's in charge of her now. Hi, Teeny. Hi, Teeny. Joe treating her okay. Good, Joe. Yeah, because Jacob got a little clumsy with her near the end of his...
He didn't seem to care at the end.
No. It's one of the reasons we had to get rid of him is because Teeny was not happy with his work. So keep that in mind, all right? Don't shake the jar.
Copy
diving
that.
Into the news. Oh, no. The government's going to shut down.
It's pretty scary. I don't think it's anything to joke about, John.
Oh, yeah, I know. So what happens? The government shuts down again. For starters, what does it say? None of the 4.5 million federal employees get paid.
So this was something that I was wondering about this, and we have this article about this. What was this in the Washington? Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
So when the government shuts down and you have almost 5 million employees who are no longer going to get a paycheck, they're just going to be out the money, right? How does that work?
No, because they've done this before. They get back pay. They'll get the money later on. They get the money back again. It's put pressure on the House to get something to the Senate to be able to pass the thing.
Okay. So they're not going to be out the money. They're going to still get the money.
No, they'll get it. They'll get it.
But they're not doing work, right? So like, let's say the government shut down for 2 weeks. They're going to be off. They're going to get no pay and they're just told to go home. But then when they get back to work, they're going to get that back pay. But nothing will have actually been accomplished over those 2 weeks.
Shocking. You won't even notice. And everybody wants to know, okay, well, how will my life be affected? So will TSA still be going? There'll be cuts at TSA. I got off the plane on Sunday and the line, I'm sure this had nothing to do with the lockdown to come or the closing down the government to come. But the line was all the way out into the parking lot again. Not sure why, but imagine that. You go there to get on the plane. You get out of your car. And you park, and the nice thing is, it's very convenient. You get out of your car, you park your car, and then stand right next to your car as you wait to get in to SeaTac, to get to the line, to go through the line, to go through TSA. So TSA, there'll be some cutbacks that'll slow things down. All of this stuff that they'll do is to put pressure on the House to get something to the Senate so the Senate can kick it back so we can still continue to spend irresponsibly with more than 30-some trillion dollars in debt.
And again, this is not actually like a year budget we're talking about. This is just
continuing resolution, right, just to keep it going temporarily.
Just to keep it going through October so they can continue debating how much money they want to spend for the year, right?
Right. Yes. I'm reading this guy's book, Ken Buck. I started over the weekend, and it's called Drain the Swamp. It's written in 2017. Ken Buck is from went to Princeton, worked for his grandfather on his grandfather's farm in Wyoming, and then came along. I think he was an attorney, and then he ran for Congress in Connecticut, and he's part of, the Freedom Caucus. This book is so unbelievably disheartening. I'll play a cut from Ken in a second, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. But he's talking about the money and how everything is controlled by the money. So you want to be on the House Ways and Means. And now that's great because then you get a chance to look at the budget. Do you know that you have to pay the Republican Party? Let's say Republican. You want to be on the House Ways and Means? You have to pay the Republican Party $250,000 just to get on that committee.
What do you mean from your campaign funds?
Yes. Yeah. So you go out, you make a bunch of promises to a bunch of corporations and a bunch of wealthy people, and they give you the money. Then you come in and you give the money to the Republican Party. And now you get a chance to sit on House Ways and Means to determine where the money goes.
Because they're in charge of appointing, because they're in charge of. Yeah.
Right. That you say, I'd like to be on. They said, okay, $250,000. If you want to be, be at the top of that committee, you want to head that committee, it can cost you $1 million, $1.2 million. If you want to be the Speaker of the House, you're looking at maybe $50 million. You go around, you get all the money from all the powerful corporations and all the super duper rich fat cats. They give you the money and then you sit on the committee. And then which way do you think you vote? So in Ken Buck's book, Draining the Swamp, he was explaining, this is when John Boehner was in there, that if you went against the speaker, if the speaker said to you, you're going to vote this way, if you decide not to, you're going to vote your conscience or morals and represent the people, It is so unbelievably petty. There are about four guys that voted against the speaker on a particular bill. It was a rules bill. And then, what do you know, the guy goes, one of the congressmen goes to take some constituents to the cafeteria there in D.C., and he finds out that, no, he has had his dining privileges revoked.
Are you kidding?
No.
This is like high school stuff.
Oh. I mean, the worst of high school.
Just a bunch of mean girls running the government? Pathetic.
Yeah, because, you don't step outside of your party leaders. You don't vote your conscience. You go, you step in line. If you vote because you don't want to vote for more money, more spending, you'll lose your spot in the committee. Or the Republican Party, according to Ken Buck from Drain the Swamp, will take money out of the Republican Party's campaign war chest and run commercials against you. To primary you.
Even though you're in their party.
You're already Republican, but it doesn't matter.
And this isn't just Republicans, right? This is Democrats. Who's ever in charge of the House at the time, they do this. Yeah.
I don't know how often they step out, but Buck and some others, I think there's like 30-some members of the Freedom Caucus, they said, listen, we're not there for the corporate donors. We're not there. We're trying to be responsible to the Constitution. He said, you would not believe what they do to you.
That's insane. That's really crazy.
Everybody's like, yeah. I want to keep my job. I don't want to lose my job. I like Congress. I want to stay in there. So I'll go out and raise the money. I'll come in and give it to the party and I'll make sure that I'm in lock. I mean, it's worse than the mafia. A mafia, at least you know who you're dealing with. But these people, ultimately, the mafia makes sure that you pay the mafia. Hey, we'd hate to see there be a fire at your restaurant. Well, I don't think it's going to be a fire. Yeah, we'll make sure there's no fire. Give us $500 a month. You get it, right? You're giving the money to them. But these people are elected. And the suckers, the American people sitting at home thinking the work is being done by my member of Congress. And all of them want to bring stuff home. Oh, look at all the money I brought home. Look at all the stuff I brought home for you. That the waste and the corruption, you read this book, Drain the Swamp. I've not finished the book yet, but I swear to God, I want to write to Ken Buck and say, please give me something to look forward to. So Buck's on, and of course, the media loves to blast him. Oh, you know, he's ridiculous. This is, he was on, I think, MSNBC or something.
From the outside looking in and from the reporting that we've highlighted on this show, it looks like a mess in the House GOP conference right now. And I just want to play with one of your colleagues, Congressman Mike Lawler of New York.
So this is Mike Lawler of New York, who's towing the party line, making sure he says the thing you're supposed to say so that he continues to keep his spot, because don't step out of line or they'll get your lunch pass.
Said about what's happening right now. Let's listen.
This is not conservative Republicanism. This is stupidity. The idea that we're going to shut the government down when we don't control the Senate, we don't control the White House. These people can't define a win. They don't know how to take yes for an answer. It's a clown show. You keep running lunatics, you're going to be in this position.
How do you feel about his assessment of things?
Well, obviously, I disagree with his assessment. I believe the spending at the levels that we're spending now, that type of spending is an existential threat to this country. And if we don't deal with that, I'm not saying we cut one area or another. We just have to make sure we have a cap on spending. And if we don't have a cap on spending, the government will keep spending out of control. We have $2 trillion of debt this fiscal year, which is an all-time high in debt, and will exceed $36 trillion by the time the next presidential election comes around. We can't do that as a country. So we've got to at least have a discussion about how do we deal with this in the long term.
Yeah, in the long term. But they just keep kicking it down the road. Oh, 10 years from now, we're going to do this. And don't worry, we're going to balance the budget 10 years. I'd love to get Joe, I will give you, how many Starbucks gift cards, Andrew, should I give Joe if he can get Ken Buck on the air?
Joe Mama.
Yeah, Joe Mama. How many can I give him? What do you think, Andrew?
I think a good solid 14.
14.
14. How much is on each?
$2. 1 cent. I think.
No, I don't think there's anything on it, but just get them.
Okay.
Because as much, Jake, your response to like, oh, that can't be.
Well, I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked by that.
I mean, the stories, and that is in the worst of it. That isn't the, I mean, take away your dining light, your dining privileges. Well, and forget the congressman's name. He just said, oh, forget it, I'm coming in anyways. He brought his constituents in and
said, yeah, who's going to stop him?
Oh, if you want to go on, like, go over the Conga and, you know, find out about some sort of, you know, you want to go over there to see what's happening with finances that are being sent over somewhere in the world. If you're not voting the right way, all of a sudden you realize, oh, what do you know? They, nope, I don't, there's no, you're not going to cover any expenses. I can't go. Just goes away. It is an unbelievably corrupt system. So people say, oh, we the people and these people are representing us. I saw a study a couple of years ago because I used to argue with Tom all the time about, he says, well, we are the government. In most cases, when they did a survey, when the American people were in favor of, you know, going this way, then you saw which way the votes went. And then you saw corporations that were supporting particular votes. About 7 out of 10 times, the corporations won and the people didn't.
Must be a coincidence.
$30-some trillion in debt. We $30 trillion. There's no way you could possibly pay that off unless we start handing gigantic bills to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And
well,
tracks the economy.
One of the disagreements right now with a few Republicans who don't want to see, you know, who are pushing the possible shutdown to happen is over funding in Ukraine. Did you see that 60 Minutes piece about that?
Yes.
Were you shocked by any of that, or were you surprised by any of that? I mean,
no.
People didn't
see it. What was your takeaway, Jake?
Well, I was surprised at like how much funding is going to just the basic infrastructure of the country, like 37,000 first responders in Ukraine. Their full-time salaries are basically happening because of taxpayer dollars that the United States is sending them.
Yes.
That was a surprising number to me. Small businesses are being funded in Ukraine with taxpayer dollars. And that money will keep going even if the government gets shut down. But locally here, government employees here won't receive the money that they're due if our government shuts down, but they will still receive the money. Just like there's stuff like that where you just go like, well, that is a question. And how much money? They sent like $60 billion something. And how is that money being accounted for? That's what CBS was asking. CBS's 60 Minutes said, can we show where this money is actually going and what it's being used for? And basically the answer was no. There's no way to fully tell where the money's going.
Right. And everybody in line, vote for it. And if you don't vote for it.
And if you don't, then you're somehow.
Yeah.
It's confusing to me because it used to be that we didn't like foreign wars and now everybody's for it. It's just, it's a very confusing topsy-turvy time. And I don't fully understand it. It's just a lot. And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Well, it's a lot of borrowed money and the people that pay it. I think the last time I'd seen, if you're born into this world in the last 2 minutes, I think they hand you a bill for like $60,000-some. That's what every single American is responsible for. Everyone, the infant that takes its first breath into the world. Congratulations. Here's your credit card bill. And you have to pay it. Gavin Newsom on 60 Minutes dodged the question, are you going to run for president?
Is part of this that voters are so fed up with what they see on the streets of their cities that as a politician, you've got to clean up those streets?
Yeah, well, that's generally the case, but that's not the inspiration for Care Court.
But is there a political factor in this for you?
As an electoral strategy, I'm turned out. That's not the issue. The politics here is compassion. The politics is purpose.
You may be termed out here, but does cleaning up the streets of California factor into a potential presidential run?
I'm never going to overpromise that in the short run. I mean, we are struggling in this state.
You're not
answering
my question.
Housing and homelessness.
People suggest that cleaning up California streets could be part of a larger political strategy
for you. I think that's table stakes. I think that's just the foundational responsibility of anyone that gets into my position. That's the day job. It's not about some grand ambition. Absolutely not.
Is that a yes or a no?
That was a never-ending response to your question.
Hmm. He's a very polished politician, don't you think? Do you find him to be a good politician?
He doesn't have the support that people think he has.
No.
Outside of California.
Yeah, I was going to say locally in California, people like him. But outside of California, I think people are kind of turned off by him.
Although they say he is waiting right there in the wings. The Joe Biden is now polling behind Donald Trump. Joe Biden's big claim to fame is I beat Donald Trump. I can beat him again. the recent three polls that had come out since Thursday show Trump now moving with independent voters that are giving Trump a second look and is now in some polls six ahead, three ahead, or four ahead of Biden. And if that those numbers hold or increase as Joe Biden continues to slip further and further into the fog of his old age and his dementia, then and inflation stays high, we have problems overseas. They say, well, if that is the case, if he can't even beat Trump in a head-to-head poll right now, jettison that guy. Get rid of him. And that's where Gavin Newsom comes in, Elizabeth Warren comes in, Pete Buttigieg will be back in there. You'll see a whole bunch of other people, because as soon as one of them breaks the dam, all they have to do is wait for the money people to tell them, go ahead, now's the right time, go. And as soon as, bang, the gun goes off, you'll see all three of those guys get in into the running.
You don't think, Kamala Harris is going to be front runner?
Oh, she'll be one of them, yeah. But she's so incredibly unpopular.
She pulls even less popular than Biden.
She won't get any money. No one will support her. They don't put any money on her. So, yeah, it's a weird thing. But I'll tell you, the name of the book again is, I don't mean to be selling it, but it's incredibly disheartening.
What's it called? Drain the Swamp?
Drain the Swamp.
I'm
going to
read that.
Buck.
That's depressing. Brutal. But it sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is. You'll learn about that. And then maybe you could ride to talk to you off the air and you could talk about football, too.
Yeah.
Right? There you are. Here we are with the John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show, and Jake in for Sherry. Much appreciated. You doing the double-double duty again. Well, it's good for you. At-bats, as they call it, right? Jake, you get a chance to get up there and
absolutely
spend some time with the big boys.
Practice makes perfect.
The 12-3, the 3-6, the 3-7 gang. Yeah. Big weekend. I was not here. Brandy Cruz got married. Mike and Brandy. Brandy looked absolutely beautiful. Mike looked as good as Mike could look. More than 100 people. It's so weird. It's like, oh, look at the bride. The guy's like, what about me? What am I, chopped liver?
There's also a guy up there next to her.
Yes. Come on now. Absolutely. Mike looked great. Brandy and her dogs were roaming free throughout the entire ceremony here at the barn. I was not here, but apparently a great time was to be had by all. We have a little lake. We have a little rowboat. And I was sure as that somebody would jump in the water. But apparently it was not warm enough for the bride to get into the rowboat or for some drunk groomsman or something to dive into the water. I'm sure that'll be
a classy event. Yeah, people don't do that. Very classy.
Very classy event.
Oh, but did you have somebody, you know, in your family overseeing the event?
No, nobody here. Wow. Nicole Thompson, Dory's former producer and Brandy's producer now, was basically the one in charge of everything.
She was the planner.
And she tried to keep everybody together, and Brandy had rules about no drinking before the ceremony. And then Nicole said at one point, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, somebody dropped an entire wine bottle on the floor and said, do you know where the broom is? And Nicole's like, I'm out. She left.
Everyone got married.
It's weird. You come home, you're like looking around like, what?
I couldn't imagine that. Like, I'd be thinking about that the whole time I was gone.
Yeah, you know, it's Ritter Farms used to do weddings out here. My friends out there, Ritter, they used to have a rule that only beer and wine. They said you get into the mixed drinks, then you get into the problems.
People start going a little bit loopy.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, then you get the puking and everything else. But people on their best behavior and a good time had by all. So that's the first wedding under the belt here.
Congrats to you guys. You know, not just Brandy and Mike, but congrats to you. Don't say that. You've provided a nice place. It's beautiful.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I cut the grass, but then I didn't sweep up the grass. So then
you're not supposed
to.
That's good. That's good for the lawn. That's mulch.
Not good for brides who want no grass on anybody's shoes. So then they got a leaf blower and they blew the grass away from the 12 acres or whatever section of it that they did because they wanted to make sure that it looked as good as possible.
Did people use your bathrooms or were there like, did you have like an outhouse installed or something?
An outhouse.
I mean, you got 100 strays.
Yeah, they brought an old wooden outhouse.
There's
a hole. Yeah, we dug a 50-foot hole in the back. Yeah. No, they bring in these fancy toilets.
Brian's wearing white. They're not going to go over a hole in the ground.
But they're not using your toilets,
Joe. Of course they're using his toilets. It's a venue. Right? You're using your toilets.
No.
I guess not. You're not using his toilets. What are you, nuts? There's a hole in the ground. If they need to go, they'll go in the hole in the ground.
Speaking of weddings, I'll tell you about me running into Pat Moynihan from Train in Santa Rosa, but I saw this over the weekend. I was thinking about weddings and people getting married. This is an Irish wedding, and the bride and groom are standing there at the altar, and I hope you can hear all of this because it's just a sort of a sweet way. Something about the Irish, especially an Irish priest. Listen to this. So she turns to the priest and goes, "Should we kiss? Shouldn't we kiss?"
And first
the priest
kiss,
goes,
first kiss,
first kiss. Kiss.
First kiss. Because the priest has forgotten that they're supposed to kiss, and they're both standing there.
You don't expect an old bachelor now to remember something like that.
Pretty quick response. Good for him.
Well, do what you have to do.
He lifts up the veil and gets, look, do what you have to do.
The priest who married my wife and I, he's knew the family. He only knew me, I guess, for like maybe 2 years, but he knew the family. He's the same priest who actually christened my wife when she was born. So he was very old, really nice guy. But when he announced us as a bride and groom, he said, I now pronounce Mr. and Mrs. Scoremeyer. Of course, that's not even close to my name. But yeah, there you go. Nice guy. Yeah. Nice guy. He's no longer with us. God rest his soul. But he will
and
be.
And then the one more is Mr. Skorheim. So I'm flying out of Santa Rosa, nice little Charlie Brown Airport there. And I look over and I was like, oh, there's Pat Moynihan from Train. I recognize him. And Amber, I recognize his wife. So I'm chatting. He didn't seem like he really wanted to talk. But then I realized, oh, I'm like being overly aggressive. But
can I interject? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because Jack said you were on the phone with him and you said, I got to go. Here's Pat Moynihan.
I did. I hate it. I admit it. I said, Jack, I got to hold on. I text Pat Moynihan from Train.
I got to go try to get an autograph.
I hung
up on him. But I went over and they used to live in Sammamish. They're over in Issaquah. And I said, hey, last time I saw you, somebody paid $25,000 to sing with you on stage. This was for the Bellevue football team back when they used to raise all sorts of money. The item was sing with Pat Moynihan on stage. Went up for like 20-some thousand dollars. And Pat's only rule was not sing a Train song. You can sing any song you want. So the guy got up and they handed him the microphone and they ended up singing Journey's Don't Stop Believing. And Pat was just sort of letting the guy sing, and then it was so bad. You could see in the video, Pat signals to his sound guy, give me a microphone, give me a microphone to sing with him. This is what it sounded like. Andrew has it, I think. Oh, Andrew said the quality is good.
$25,000, right?
Pat's playing, yeah. Pat's playing the drums. And he's at this point, he's now you got the microphone.
He felt
he's
bad.
Help the guy out.
He thought the song was so bad.
Yeah.
So do you think he just? Okay.
Yeah, so he's trying to like save the guy. He's gonna play drums, and then Pat encourages them to bring up like other people to come up on stage.
Get his money's worth.
Really, really nice to him. Yeah, because it was pretty painful.
That's a tough song to sing. Have you ever done it in a karaoke bar? Yeah, which is a very common karaoke song to sing.
Maybe Pat jumps in. Not the best quality, but yeah, you know, there's a bar in Redmond. I don't know if they still do it or not, but they used to have karaoke there. And if you wanted to sing that song, they would charge you money. So you couldn't just like ask for that song. They say, oh, you want to do, Don't Stop Believing? That's going to be like $25. I mean, what? Why? Because nobody wants to sit there and listen to you screech through those.
It's a nice little moneymaker, though. Get them to pay for it. I bet you people paid for it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, but what about all the poor people sitting there in the audience having to listen to, the karaoke bar? And
It's not a short song either.
Oh my God! And everybody knows it, and they all know the song and the lyric. And
it's a fan favorite. It's a fan favorite. I think people liked it.
You are such a goody-goody, Jake. Where's your edge?
I think they liked it. I think they liked it.
I appreciate.
Okay.
It.
Well, powerful take on your part. All right. Thank you, Pendergast Law. Here comes the mailman now, Jake. What do you know? Let the mailman in. He's got a song to sing. And he goes something like this.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Don't mess with
him. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door, Jake. Then you got
to I don't want to introduce a rodent to my children.
What? What? That's a drop. Huh?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I think that you weren't here. I was on with Sherry. We're talking about pets.
Yeah, good. Something right there. Okay. Yep. We'll get to the letter of the day, but first, some advice.
Don't sit and cry about it.
No, don't. Just to read it. Here we go. Good letter advice. Of the day is coming up, but first, here comes the first one. Here we go.
On Diving Into the News, Cheryl in 253 says, John, you are really phoning it in on those dives lately. Used to be able to hear you shaking off the water.
I know. I'm sorry. What happened?
I got
an infection.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got to take your underwear off after it gets wet or get an infection. Sure. Aaron 360, hee-haw to Aaron. Lots of Joe Mama jokes, by the way. Joe Mama is so smart, he installed airbags on his computer just in case it crashed. drum roll.
That's pretty good.
Joe Mama's so dumb, it takes him 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes.
Wow, yeah! I like that one. That's great.
Yeah, Joe Mama.
Are we moving on? You want more?
Joe Mama.
Okay, keep going. Here we go.
All right, low bail for drive-by shooter. Benny in 253 says, reminiscent of the punks who murdered the bud tender in Tacoma. Outrageous.
425, I'm shocked. Didn't that person suffer from road rage know that we have gun laws?
Good question.
Come on now. Yes.
Probably didn't know. Mm-hmm. 206 says the judges should be required to live in a poor community for the length of time so they can experience the results of their decisions instead of living in their safeguarded gated communities. It's kind of an assumption that they just live in a gated community.
It'd be an interesting law, wouldn't it? Let's see. Trevor 206, Abraham Lincoln said, when you watch your pennies, the dollars take care of themselves. The same could be said for petty crimes and major crimes.
This is on Jack being back in Seattle. 206 says, oh, geez, be nice. I'm from Klamath Falls. Yeah, he was kind of taking some cheap shots at the people in Oregon.
Yeah, and by the way, why did he have to stay in a meth hotel?
That's a great question. Great question.
You get those old crappy hotels that says, yes, we have cable. Yes, we have air conditioning.
HBO is a big plus.
You remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we have HBO. We got robbed once. My brother, my dad, and I are going to Wake Forest. My brother's going to go there for 1 year, and he hated it. And we stayed in this really awful hotel because my dad said, oh, you don't sleep with your eyes open. Who cares? And the guy came in, just came into the room. My dad wakes up and says to the guy who's standing at the bureau, hey, it's sitting at the little table there. Hey, what are you doing? And the guy goes, I'm robbing you. And my dad goes, hey, will you? That was my dad's response. Hey, will you?
And the guy Why? Goes,
yeah, I will. And with that, he just took my dad's wallet and left. So then that became like ongoing curly culture. How do you stop somebody from robbing you? You yell, hey, will you?
But then he does it.
Hey, will you? Makes it sound like, hey, will you
it's
rob
an invitation.
Me?
It's an invitation to rob.
It's a rhetorical question. But my dad woke up, hey, what are you doing? I'm robbing you. Hey, will you?
Hey, will you? Go back to sleep. All right. All right. This is, no, it's your turn. It's not my turn. It's your turn.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Fans not standing Seahawks game 206 says, I was there, and we stood for every third down and defense play. I was in the club section 234, row N, and we were on our feet.
I'm telling you, man, it's just because people were embarrassed by your celebrity. They didn't want to embarrass themselves in front of you.
Come on. Yeah. Let all little children come to thee. Go ahead.
And now it is time for the letter
Thank
of
you,
the day.
Great job, Teeny, choosing the letter of the day. Thank
you,
Teeny.
509 on the Instagram, Leaf Peepers in Vermont says, this all reminds me of my trip to Cleellum. Cleellum. How do you pronounce it? Cleellum?
Cleellum.
All right. So I'm going to start over. This all reminds me of my trip to Cleellum over the weekend. We found a lovely country road to photograph the leaves, and we were told to leave because there was a celebrity wedding taking place on that very private road.
Mm-hmm. That happened. Got to send you away. This brand
new. No.
All are welcome. But by the way, I'm opening the pumpkin patch this week. Just come by and get a pumpkin. That's going to be the plan.
I'll be there.
Really? Yeah, why not?
All right.
I don't have a, else to do it.
But that's all.
One a person. You can't come in and just back a truck up and take them all out. I haven't given it much thought. Can you tell?
Yeah, you should think about that more.
I should. But first, we got to think about another hour.